Join me for a hymn sing at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. This year's theme, Hymns of Comfort. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
It's way too easy, as I know far too well, to mistake love for a kindly disposition toward others and let it rest there. That's not genuine love. That's just an emotion. Genuine love acts toward the needs of others.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of 2 Corinthians.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. I'm sure you recall that in our last study, St. Paul tried to stir up the Corinthians by reminding them of the example of the churches in Macedonia, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. Even though they were suffering much under persecution, once they caught wind of this big love gift St. Paul was trying to amass to send to the suffering Christians in Jerusalem, immediately they begged Paul to allow them to participate. And the way they did this astonished the apostle, for they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to the apostles, and they gave generously and even beyond their means. Their poverty proved no obstacle. They gave till it hurt. And it was all joy to them to be able to do this. Yes, St. Paul's encouraging a godly kind of rivalry here when he tells the congregation in Corinth that is so utterly rich in spiritual gifts and not materially poor, not to be outshone by the Macedonians, but for them too to excel in this act of grace. And remember how from start to finish, Paul refers to the offering as an act of grace. It's just the shape that the grace of Christ took in the lives of those Christians. For faith in Christ is always the mother of love to the brothers. A reading from 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, beginning at the 8th verse. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness, as it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 8 through 15. Let us pray. Lord, open now our hearts to hear, and through your word to us draw near. Let us your word, heir true, retain. Let us your children and heirs remain. Amen. Well, you ready to dig into the word for today? Let's get to this. Verse 8, I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. Recall that he had given a number of commands in the first epistle, instructions that he expected them to simply obey, since they came from their apostle in Christ. He always makes it clear when he's shifting from a command from the Lord to an exhortation from himself. And that's what this section is. It's an exhortation, an encouragement to let the love that they've tasted and known in Christ flow through them, and to do so precisely to prove that their love is genuine. It's way too easy, as I know far too well, to mistake love for a kindly disposition toward others and let it rest there. That's not genuine love. That's just an emotion. Genuine love acts toward the needs of others. This is what St. John urged when he wrote, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." 1 John 3:18. St. Paul is urging the exact same thing here. Don't just be loving toward those from whom the gospel first sounded forth into the world. Show it by your deeds, just as the Macedonians did by their determination to give even more than they could reasonably be expected to, out of sheer love for that mother church. Verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, by his poverty, might become rich." This verse is one of the gems in the whole epistle, and the single verse is the grounding for everything Paul is encouraging them toward. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ means, above all, the free action of Christ on our behalf. Though he was rich refers to the glory that he possessed with the Father before time. He had all the fullness of Godhead. He had no lack whatsoever. So he doesn't act out of a desire to fill up some lack in him, but a lack in us. He sees our poverty, that we are devoid of the very righteousness we need to stand before God and be able to enjoy his eternal life and blessedness. And so his love doesn't merely pity us in his heart. It leads him to act on our behalf freely and kindly. He embraces our poverty all the way to the cross. There he hangs naked and forsaken. He enters into the long loneliness of sin, and he takes it all into himself, all our poverty. And he does so precisely that in his poverty, we might become rich. His sufferings become the free gift of an eternal righteousness that we are privileged to put on by faith, covering the poverty of our obedience with his flawless obedience. All our Christian giving flows out from gratitude for this gift of Christ to us. Verse 10 and 11. "And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do the work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have." Again, notice how carefully he makes it clear again. This is my judgment. This is not a command from God. But I judge that it would actually benefit you, who started gathering this offering a year ago, and who also really, really wanted to do this. Well, finish it. Finish what you determined to do. This will benefit you, because nothing so frees you from the chains of this world and its fears as generous giving to the needs of your sisters and brothers in Christ. Even as I write this, many of you may have already contributed toward the travesty unfolding among our Christian brothers in Ukraine. And if you haven't, let me encourage you to do so. Of course, yes, it benefits them, but it also benefits you when the kindly desire to help translates into tangible gifts of love. Theodore of Cyrus nailed this in the 4th century. "Paul knows and respects their willingness to help, but the time has come for that willingness to be translated into action." Verse 12. "For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have." This is another precious verse. The readiness to give is what the Lord is looking for. He's not paying so much attention to the amount. If you have only a little to give, then that little, like the widow's mite, is actually a pleasing and acceptable sacrifice when it flows out of trust in the Lord and love for the needy. Verse verses 13 and 14. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that, as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. From this, people loved by God, we probably ought to draw the conclusion that the Corinthians were not merely rich in spiritual gifts, but that they were not a poor church in material things. True, Paul noted that not many of you were wise according to worldly standards, not many powerful, not many of noble birth, 1 Corinthians 1:26. But even though they were not the movers and shakers in town, they still had a life that, compared to these brothers in Macedonia, was relatively peaceful and prosperous. And St. Paul makes it clear, he's not trying to burden them, but to teach them fairness. That when we have an abundance, it is something God puts into our hands, not to satisfy our own greedy desires, but so that we might look around and see whom we can bless in need. My wife and I are big Dave Ramsey fans, and I love the final piece of his plan for financial peace is simply, well, now enjoy giving it away. Right on. If you have an abundance now, look around your life and think about whom you might bless. Verse 15, as it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. That yanks you right back into the Exodus, of course, and you need to understand that that's exactly how Christians are to see themselves. By baptism, we've been freed from service to that hellish Pharaoh, Satan, and now we're journeying with Christ on the way to the promised land. But meanwhile, we're traveling through this wilderness, and as we travel, God promises us our daily bread. Did not Jesus teach us to pray, give us this day our daily bread? And so we learn the lesson of the manna. Enough for each day. There'll be more tomorrow. If you, in fear, try to store it up, you'll find it breeding worms and stink into high heaven. And so we simply go forward trusting in his provision and keenly aware that if we have an abundance, it's so that we can get in on his joy of sharing it. And the Macedonians even found the secret that you do not have to have an abundance, and you can still get in on the joy of sharing, and God will take care of you. Remember how St. Paul had promised them, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4, verse 19. That's where we're going to have to call a stop for today, people loved by God. Next up, St. Paul spins off into a bit of a rhapsody upon St. Titus and his companions. He thanks God that God put the same care and love that Paul had for the Corinthians into Titus's heart. He was chomping at the bit to go help them finish up this great work. He'll talk about his traveling companion, one famous for his preaching. Well, who could that be? Maybe Apollos? Whoever it was, that person who had been appointed by the churches, not assigned by Paul, everything here is to be above board, especially when dealing with this very large financial gift. And he was to travel with them and see that the gift is properly delivered. Paul is making triple sure that there's no blame that can be attached to his ministry in the administration of this gift. By the way, you might remember that in Acts 24:26, Felix, who had Paul arrested after the delivery of that gift, hoped that money would be given to him, a bribe. Did he catch wind that when Paul arrived in town, he brought a sizable gift of money to the church there? Possibly. Till next time, the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.